Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 273, part 2, the conclusion to Mount 2. Today is Sunday, December 30th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Now here is the truth not many will deny. Wretched are the proud in spirit. They are wretched, miserable, and poor. They are led to sin. Now have you ever seen someone afflicted with proud flesh? Proud flesh that's oversensitive? Proud flesh that's touchy? Proud flesh that models itself wherever it goes. Self at church is a model. Self at school, modeling themselves. Self at preaching. Self at singing. I wonder sometimes when the proud in spirit, when they preach, when they go home and they look in the mirror, they must say to themselves, I mean, they must get sick of themselves once in a while. Huh? I know. I mean, I would. Or maybe they're so proud they can't see past that. Wouldn't you think they'd get sick of themselves once in a while and just look in the mirror and say, oh, shut up. Self at the beach? A lot of pride there at the beach, isn't there? Huh? Ooh, Mr. Macho walking along. What time is it? And they hold their arm just right so every muscle ripples. Where'd they go? I think they went over that way. Or did they go that way? And a little bacteria about, you can't even see it with a microscope, can march up and say, you're going down, big boy! That's the end of them. I think there is one thing, only one thing, more sensitive than proud flesh, and that is a proud spirit. Because that is a person that's possessed with a spirit of pride. Ooh. And that spirit of pride, it dictates with power, because it's a spirit. It gossips with power. It tears down with power. It destroys with power, because it's a spirit. Now, in the flesh, in the world, they know how to handle someone like that. Just give them a kick in the seat of the pants. They right? Or they just tell them, all right, oh, get lost. He's more honest than the Christian a lot of times. Oh, you got a big mouth. Or any, what? Hey. But a proud spirit is a little different thing, isn't it? It's an atmosphere around the person. Whew. It can overcome people. It can cause them defeat. It can dictate. It's sort of a Hitlerian spirit. I mean, it sort of like consumes its opponents, which is everybody. Everybody is their enemy. Even God. And so this person eats, sleeps, breathes, hears, and loves only one thing. That spirit that rules him. And so, like Satan, it wants to be above God. Whether that person recognizes it or not, they want to be above God. And now, in a sort of a self-righteous, using the Scriptures, wrestling the Scriptures, using the Scriptures, they cause confusion. They cause backbiting. They cause suicides. You may be proud of your pride, but of this you may be very sure. It's a sure road to wretchedness. A truly wretched person is a person that has a spirit of pride. And so I say tonight, miserable are the proud in spirit, happy are the poor in spirit. I wonder, you listening out there, proud spirits out there, would you just admit that sometimes you'd like to come down off your high horse and be sweeping the toilet floors? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier? Well, pride will never let you do that. Miserable are the proud in spirit, and happy are the poor in spirit. Well, what does Jesus mean, you're asking, by poverty of spirit? Why would he ever teach people such a thing? Especially with our new modern teachings on prosperity and stuff. Now, to be proud of spirit does not mean self-contempt. Jesus never tells us to despise ourselves. He never asks any man to crawl and cringe and grovel. He discovered to us the worth of the individual. He believed that the meanest human soul had immeasurable possibilities. Count no man out. And so to be poor in spirit then is not to despise yourself. Not to look on yourself with contempt. It is to be humble, teachable, childlike, ready to lean, in other words, upon a higher power. AA groups know that. And so in order to see poverty of spirit, it is necessary to see it become incarnate in a personality, namely Jesus Christ. God had to show us the way to be poor in spirit. I think the very same thing is true of love. I asked a group of little kids one time when I was ministering. We used to have quite an audience of little kids that would sit up front in a church. Remember that? When we were in the suburbs and a little group of kids would sit up front. And I asked these little kids, what is love? Well, none of them could define it. And then I asked the same group of kids, have you ever seen love? And every hand went up. They couldn't define it according to Webster's dictionary, but they knew love. They had seen love become human life in their mother, in their father, in their dolly, in their dog, in their grandpa, in a friend. Unmeasurable forgiveness through their parents, or God's forgiveness over and over and over. And Peter asked, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven times 70 a day. Well, a person asked me then, well, where should we look for poverty of spirit? Is there any place in the Bible that we could look? How about the 10 spies? Could that serve as an illustration? Well, I said, let's see it. It says that they went into Canaan to spy. And they went into Canaan to spy out, it says, to spy out the land. You remember that story? And they came back with, let's say, a sense of their littleness and their worthlessness. And they whimpered and they said, oh, we saw the giants. They were 9 foot tall and taller over there. They live over there. And we were, in our own eyes, as grasshoppers. There's no use of going forward. Forget it. We can't succeed. God has played an awful joke on us. They even thought it would be madness to trust God. But see, these men were not poor in spirit, they were poor spirited. There's a difference. They were poor spirited and nothing more. Well, let's try the man with the one talent. One day the master left him with a treasure in his hand. And these are questions that were asked of me. Well, how about the talent? You know, preachers, people, if we're open to God, you'll get the answers. They're right there. One day, the master, the Bible said, left him with a treasure in his hand, one talent. You know what that showed? That treasure showed that he was trusted. It showed with the one talent that he gave this man, that the master had confidence in him. Here's only one for you. And so he gripped it very proudly. He was all grins probably and trying to hide grins. You know where you ever try to hide a grin? Huh? And he started to think of how to invest it for his master. Let's see, how will I invest this now? The Bible says, but before he could do that, he met a friend that had two talents. And that damped him somewhat. And then, further on down the road, he met another man with five talents. And this made him grow cold, and he lost his zest. And he said, this little talent is nothing in comparison with what these others have. And I don't stand any chance at all. But see, he was not poor in spirit. He was full of pride. And worse yet, he was a coward. You can start out with one talent. And if God trusts you with one talent, hey, only God knows what will happen with that one talent, with that little piece. Did you ever think that when we started the mission down here that it would grow into the largest in the United States per consistent bag giveaway? Did you ever think that? with no money, no source of support, no kind of help at all. Only trusting in the Lord, and that's all any of us have to do with that one talent. Think about it. It's not a place for people that are full of pride, I'll tell you that. This is certainly a pride destroyer. Oh, yeah. Now, he lost his zest. Well, then where shall we go? Let's answer. Jesus himself. The Beatitudes are the descriptions of the character of our Lord. We're talking about the Lord when we talk about this message here tonight. Because in him we will find the deepest and the fullest sense of what poor in spirit really means. Now this is God coming to us. He was so poor in spirit that he said, I can do nothing of mine own self. I do nothing, he said. He was so poor in spirit that he washed the disciples' feet. Now, if someone would have asked Peter, will you wash the group's feet here? He probably would have said, you're kidding. Wash these arguing over who's the greatest people's feet? No way. If they're waiting for me, their feet are going to rot off. But you see what none other would do, Jesus did, and why? Because he had no respect for himself? No, that was not the reason. Look at the state of mind as he did this. And it says, knowing that he was come from God and went to God. In other words, that is when he was conscious of his divine origin. Don't you see it, folks? When we know that we own everything, then we don't have nothing to prove. Oh, God, that's great. You don't have to prove anything. So now you can be poor of spirit. You don't have nothing to prove. You're hidden in Christ in God, and you're on your way to glory, and you got it all, so you can give it all, because you got it all. And you can just be humble of spirit with those folks. You don't have nothing to prove. Nothing can lay you low. Did anything lay Jesus low? Slandered, called a whoremonger, a winebibber. Every sin was laid to his charge, upon his body. But it didn't matter because he knew where he was at. And that's why we have to know where we're at. And then we won't have to be so prideful. And, hey, look at me. You have to. We can be poor of spirit. We can identify with a whore. And we can identify with the bums. And we can identify with everybody. Because we got it all. There's nothing to prove. That's where we miss it. Trying to prove something. And so he washed feet and he served all. And so here is true poverty of spirit. Having nothing but owning everything, the Bible says. God, who is the Spirit, came down to serve us. Humbled himself, was spit upon, beaten, and cursed, and answered not. Why? He didn't have to. Do you mean to say that you are the Son of God? You said it. You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer people. Go on about your business and go on upon. You don't have nothing to prove. Agree, it says, with your adversary quickly whilst he's in the way. Why? So he gets out. Yeah, you're all right. Then they move aside. Then you can go on. Thank you. Nothing to prove. Jesus did it all, so why do we have to build ourselves up, preach condemnation to people, tell them they can lose their salvation? Why? Because we have a fear in our own members? Because we're trying to build up our own selves? It is by this poverty of spirit, the Bible says, that we enter the kingdom of heaven. Not as a reward, but as a must. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They already have it. They already know it, so now there's nothing to prove. They don't have to fight openly with one another. They don't have to prove their doctrine is right. There is only one doctrine, the doctrine of do. No, that's a must. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so such enter the door naturally, and it's closed to all others. Why? They won't repent. One day, the Bible says the disciples were arguing as to who was the greatest. Jesus said, unless you are like this child, none of you will make it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Except it says ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Same as the prodigal son and the elder brother. The elder brother, of course, was proud of what he was. The prodigal son, of course, was humble. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called son. He was poor in spirit. And it says the doors to the feast were open wide unto him. And now the elder brother stayed outside, never entered in. Too proud to even enter in. You know what? Pride won't fit through that narrow gate. That big head won't make it through. Puffed up with knowledge, the Bible says. Don't be too puffed up with knowledge. Now, I've seen people at meetings. Ooh, it makes me fearful what some of these people do. And they'll get some teenagers in there, and they'll start saying, you have the gift of this, and you have the gift of this, and you have the gift of this. It's almost like the Wizard of Oz. Oh, if I only had a heart. And they just go right down the line, right now. Okay, it's just so simple. And these kids are novices, and they get all puffed up, and all of a sudden, God has called me to be a prophet. And they go on out there, and they get ruined out there. Knocking on doors. God has called me to prophesy over Hennepin Avenue. So-and-so told me that. They go down there and start screaming and yelling. They arrest them, throw them in jail. I mean, there's a lot of total nincompoops out there. Let me tell you, spiritual leaders that are total nincompoops. Do you agree? You agree on the radio? You turned it off? You turned it back on again, though, didn't you? Well, don't worry, you can get the tape. Now, who is the greatest? The Bible said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's a story about this frog, and he was seeking warmer weather. Oh, and it was starting to get kind of cold out. And he knew his friends, these geese, and he thought, well, I gotta, maybe they can help me. So he gets his string, see? And he goes to his two geese friends, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And he says, you put this piece of string in your mouth and this piece of string in your mouth. And they were number two and number three bird. And he bites a hold of this thing. And they carry him way out. Boy, he says, I'm pretty smart. He's thinking to himself, I am really smart. And it's getting warmer. I can feel the climate changing. Oh, this is great. And someone looks up and they say, whoa, what a great idea. I wonder whoever thought of that. And his pride was too much. I did! Huh? Let go of the string. Pride goeth before the fall. They hearing this message? No, poverty of spirit is where you have to be at because you know you got everything anyway. And now you look on others and you say, wow, they don't have this. Now you can minister to people. Now you don't kill people with your ministry and maim them. Have them walking around all white and pasty looking because they don't know if they're saved or not. It's kind of like we get to be God's preachers and they're walking around all kind of pasty and white. I wonder if they know what's in my mind. I wonder if they know what I did. Oh, your highnesship. Oh, your gloryship, huh? El Stinko. How many hearing this? Jesus had a friend, Peter. Oh, he was so devoted to him, but he was proud. Jesus in the Bible warned, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Well, they might, Peter says, but not I. And the Bible says that Peter utterly failed. God urged his friends to clothe themselves in the Bible with humility. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Poverty of spirit, in closing, leads us to a blessedness. Because you know why? It fits us to serve in the kingdom. Unless we have that poverty of spirit, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Bible points out that there are six things that God hates. One of them is the proud look. You ever seen somebody with a proud look? They flare their nostrils. They're like a horse that's proud, you know. They flare them. You know what I mean? And preachers, we can do that. We just get real proud of where we're at and just flare your nostrils. Huh? Well, you look nuts is what you look like. Don't you hate it when someone tries to lord it over you? Don't you? Brother, God spoke to me about you. I hate that when somebody comes up and said, God spoke to me about you. I said, well, I don't care to hear it. You know, because usually it's something that isn't too good. Do you ever notice that? Now, if the guy's flaring his nostrils, then I go in a hurry. And if he's real stiff in his legs, and he's standing sort of like this, and his nostrils are flaring, man, I beat it down the road. No, I think it is the man who identifies with us. It is the man of poverty of spirit. No, I think this is important to say before we close here. It is a man of poverty of spirit whose ministry we welcome and we find it helpful. Doesn't condemn, doesn't try to flesh convict you. Brethren, it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You don't see much of that on TV, do you? Do you see the spirit of meekness on TV right now with this big scandal thing that's going on? Come back and there'll be a funeral. We can almost hear the drums of war. Huh? No, it is only to restore people, the Bible says. Restore them. Because if we go in the spirit of pride, in the spirit of self-sufficiency, we shall repel rather than to restore. Aren't we in the restoration business? Aren't we? Are we supposed to respect one person over another? Aren't they all God's handiwork? I mean, here's a banker. Here's a multi-million dollar, let's say, person. And here's a bum. Who's the greatest? Exactly the same. Especially when you open up one of those coolers and they draw them out. Is this the person? And they pull the sheet back. They're all cleaned up and they're both naked. You can't tell the difference. tag on their toe. No, they're exactly the same. That's why we can't judge. We can't judge between the whore and the homosexual or whatever. I'm not saying that that isn't sin, but I'm saying you're not to judge. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save them. And God says, you are not judges. If you want to live by the law, you have to live under the law. Can you do it? In the same manner that you mete it out to this bomb or to this whore or to this homosexual or to this whatever, this murderer, it's going to be met out to you the same way, because in fact you are a murderer. Look at the spirits that you have destroyed here with your ministry. I called you as the vessels of mercy, and I foreordained that you should be the vessels to be filled with mercy. And if you're not filled with mercy, what are you filled with, and who filled you with what you're full of? Think about that. No, we're in the restoration business. And let me tell you, many babes have been discouraged by the look at me's. How important it is right now to get into the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I mean, all this stuff is gone. Oh, man, I mean, you can see it. The handwriting was on the wall. It was on the wall 14 years ago when we were out at the little church. You know, it wasn't popular in the suburbs to minister that, because it was just everybody was in a craze. They were in the crazies, man. They were just like running to this meeting and that meeting and all over the place, and they were into the hyper faith, and they were running, and they were so weird. I didn't believe it. I mean, I just felt weird being around them. I never did fit in. I mean, it was so phony. I mean, everybody, no one is really like that. You know what I'm talking about? Lammy pie, likey, lammy pie, wide-eyed, almost like these little dolls. Praise the Lord. Walking on sort of clouds-like. I mean, it's not realistic. You know what I mean? Sweetie. I mean, there are people that are just naturally sweet. I'm talking about that religious spirit. That I have a word for you, spirit, that offness. And there's so much to do, and people got into that, and they're still trying to hold on to that yet. But you know what? It's less and less is it working. Huh? They're going to be laying on their side with one leg kicking, you know what I mean? One last dying kick. Because Jesus said, when I come, will I find any among you? Will I find any faith among you? With all these faith teachings, Jesus says, that's what I'll have to ask when I come. Is there any real faith here? Faith without works is dead. What have you been doing? Prophesying over one another? Running around to meetings? Quoting scriptures? Charging $150 for two tapes on your wisdom that was taken out of the Bible? For these two tapes here. And the world grabbed a hold of it. Now we have these tapes here on how to become successful. And they use scripture in them. $400. A guy had some real estate tapes. $400. And basically what he was saying, here's the way you cheat to make a profit. And isn't it cheating God? Isn't it cheating people and cheating God when we charge that kind of money for the wisdom and the beauty of God, and we take all that and we misuse it? How many hearing this tonight? Blessed are the poor in spirit, and they're poor in spirit, and they can afford to be that way because they're rich beyond their what they could ever think or hope to ask for. They have it all. And after you've had it all and you realize that you have it all and you know you have it all in the economy of God, well, you can afford to have poverty of spirit. Makes you humble when you got it all. When you got everything, now you can afford it. You haven't got nothing else to go for anyway. Now you can tend to business. Now you can take care of the lame and the sick and the poor and the prisoner and the widow and all that. Because, hey, you got it all. Well, we got it all. So let's go ahead and do God's work here. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for these people. God bless each one in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? Okay. Okay, I always ask everybody. And this great throng of people here tonight, I know most of them in here, so I want to ask them all. God bless you real good for coming tonight, and I hope you learned something from tonight's message. And I really think it's the time for that kind of preaching to come forth. That needs to come forth right now in this time and age. Because we got to get back to what did Jesus really say? That's what he really said. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not receive then, not receive now. But I can tell you, hey, it's the only thing that works. You can afford in the economy of God to have it because you got everything anyway. Now you can just be yourself in God. Who's going to sing tonight? Anybody? Looks like you're appointed, Deb.
That was the conclusion to episode 273. That was part two to Mount 2. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. You can join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcasts. Next Friday's message is Mount 3. Have a happy new year and keep it safe. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Maybe living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side.
Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve.